This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart, and you're listening to the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guest for the day. It's Trader Nick in the United States. Good afternoon from London. Good morning to you, Nick.
Good morning. Good afternoon, Johnny. Thanks for being back on the podcast with me. We got a lot to talk about today.
Indeed. Let's first reflect on the latest central bank news. Of course, we've got the Bank of England announcement tomorrow, which we'll talk about in a moment or two. But first, we heard from the Royal Bank of Australia yesterday.
Yes. So just a quick look at the daily chart here on the Australian dollar. Clearly, the market didn't love what came through here. And, you know, after reviewing everything that went down with the RBA, Johnny, what I noticed is that it sounded eerily familiar to what we heard from our very own central bank here in the United States, the Fed. Everybody went into Jerome Powell's meeting thinking he was going to come in, you know, with the hammer. Inflation's not going anywhere. You know, we need to keep rates where we're at, or maybe even not afraid of a hike. People expected him to be very hawkish. Very familiar when we look at what happened with the RBA. You know, the market has seen some progress in inflation for Australia, but it's still been, you know, kind of slow and stagnant. You know, that slowing inflation progress, a lot of people start to wonder, is that central bank going to kind of tighten it up a little bit and try and get that under control? So I think similar to the Fed, people thought that the RBA was going to come out a little bit more hawkish with their stance. We did see, in fact, not such strong words. So similar to Jerome Powell, we didn't have any, you know, strong language against inflation. When I say strong language, I'm talking about, you know, rates could go higher, or, you know, basically just any antics that suggest that they're willing to fight harder if need be. Jerome Powell, you could make the argument, well, he did say, oh, you know, we're going to keep rates where they're at and we're willing to hold it for a long time. You could say that that's hawkish, but the market was expecting him to basically say rate hikes are not off the table. That's a different level of escalation. So similar to the Fed, like I said, the RBA kind of coming in with a softer tone. Now, in terms of their inflation story, the quarter over quarter, the way they report it, in the first quarter, it's down to 3.6% inflation, still off of their target, just like most of the Western world, the target of 2%. They're still a ways off from that. But this is down from the previous quarter of 4.1%. So there's progress in the inflation story for Australia, just like most of the other major Western, you know, central banks. But again, slowing progress in that is not unique to Australia. And as we'll talk more about in a little bit on the podcast, you know, these central banks do not, as much as they, of course, are doing what's best for their particular jurisdiction or their country, they do look very closely at what other central banks are doing. So there could be a case to be made that a little bit of a precedence has come in from the recent notes from Jerome Powell.
And of course, we're going to hear from the Bank of England tomorrow. We're not expecting a cut. However, it'll be interesting to see how the Monetary Policy Committee votes on what to do. There are some people suggesting, and don't forget, there are 9 members of the MPC. It'd be interesting to see how many vote for the cut, which would give some indication as to when the cut will actually happen. Some are suggesting just 2 or maybe 3 members will vote for a cut, and the rest will go to stick. But markets will have a keen eye on that, because it is expected, as Jerome Powell intimated last week, Nick, the Eurozone and the United Kingdom will be the first to cut rates on this side of the Atlantic.
Sure. And, you know, just before we started this podcast, I freshened up and made sure my, you know, latest forecasts were in line. And when I looked at it, what we see here for, you know, first the Fed, consensus is now kind of shifted more solidly towards the first rate cut being in September for the U.S. Now, there is now in the Fed watch tool that we reference often, there is some wiggle room there for a possible second cut in this year. But yes, in Jerome Powell's language, he did mention that the outsized growth, the outperformance of the U.S. could mean that we are not going to be the first ones to cut. In fact, he mentioned specifically like our Western allies, of course, alluding to, you know, the Bank of Canada, the ECB, the Bank of England, that they might be the ones to actually cut rates first. In terms of targets, at least what seems to be the consensus is that there is a first cut expected in August of this year for the Bank of England. Of course, things can change, depends on the data, but Andrew Bailey has expressed some optimism in regards to inflation recently. And just like other, again, Western central banks, the 2% conventional target seems to be attainable, especially if you do see some continued slowdown in the economy. That inflation number will come down. You know, I imagine, Johnny, that, you know, in a year from now, the question will be, at least if things continue on their same course, if inflation does continue to slowly grind lower for these places, the next big hurdle, the next big, you know, debate and conversation will be how much of this growth slowdown is just, you know, normalization, and is there the potential that it could lead to some steeper recessionary periods? That's the real question, you know, because now we are starting to see the latest round of data out of the U.S. in comparison has started to cool off, and as Powell mentioned, he mentioned, you know, the relative outperformance of the U.S. economy. If we're starting to see, you know, the cracks in the economy again, this is why central banks typically echo and listen to each other very much so, is because, again, our economies are connected. So if there is, you know, slowdown coming in the U.S., that could suggest perhaps if that outperformance is going to hold its, you know, its placeholder, other places may be starting to experience even more of a slowdown. The question is, again, is it just normalization and slowdown, or are we due for a bit of a, you know, a prolonged slower period? That's, I guess, the next big debate.
I wanted to also ask you about U.S. earnings today. Have we heard from Uber and Shopify as yet?
We have, and you know, these are exciting growth names, and while they are may not be the biggest market caps in the, you know, the U.S. Stock market, they are always very interesting to me, simply because these are especially growth names. Shopify, you know, an online opportunity for e-commerce, and Uber, of course, is a you know, arguably almost like an industrial. It's almost like, you know, the grid system. How much are people driving? It's a heavy, in, you know, barometer of the consumer and arguably of the economy. You got to think, if you just anecdotally, if you think like how many business men and women are traveling and using Uber, or how many people are vacationing and need an Uber, or going to concerts and need an Uber, or going out for nightlife and using an Uber. It's an interesting barometer past just the stock itself. It's a very interesting just kind of indicator. So in terms of Uber specifically, Uber, they beat on revenue, which is a positive, but their earnings slipped a little bit. So them beating on revenue, I guess, is in terms of that barometer, kind of a cool thing. People are using their services. That's a positive, I suppose, for the consumer. But then specific to Uber, they actually missed pretty big on their reported earnings. That stock here this morning is down just about 8%+ at the time of recording this, which is a pretty steep sell-off. Shopify, again, a similar, you know, not quite as big, I would say, as Uber, but that one actually getting crushed here this morning, down 19.25% at the time of recording this. So quite some volatility there in the stock market. It doesn't help that the NASDAQ is slightly down on the day too. You know, S&P and NASDAQ moving lower with yields creeping higher here this morning. Perhaps there's some correlation there. I think recently, Johnny, I mentioned this earlier, we've had a round of weakening economic data out of the U.S. Some notable ones were the miss in advanced GDP numbers. You know, people thought the advanced GDP number was going to come in way higher than it actually did. So there was a big outsized miss on advanced GDP. You couple that also with a light jobs print and PMIs, both services and manufacturing, these numbers all uniformly came in light. And what I think is interesting here, Johnny, is when you get some of these numbers suggesting strength and some of them suggesting weakness, you can get kind of a confusing or mixed picture. But it is telling when you start to see several of them aligning in the same direction. In fact, you know, me just personally in my own trading and investing, I typically look for confluences as much as I can. Like I'm looking for a lot of things to agree. And I think that that's a powerful, you know, kind of indicator overall. So right now we do see a lot of things aligning in the same direction. And for, you know, currency traders listening, the dollar index has traded lower here recently, but what's kind of confusing is that it's up today, despite all of that weakening economic data. What you could argue is that, yes, there are some weak economic data, but remember, currencies trade relative to others. So if other central banks that we've heard of and discussed in this podcast episode are coming in sounding dovish or sounding, they're not beating out the hawkishness of the Fed, if they sound light too, you know, it resets. Is that dollar still relatively attractive? It's one of those things. Is the dollar the best of the worst kind of scenario? I made the comparison yesterday in a live stream that I was doing, that the dollar right now kind of looks like, you know, picture a racehorse that is the least injured and the rest of them are more injured. That racehorse might do a little bit better than the other ones.
Very good. Nick, interesting to hear from you today. We'll speak to you again on Friday. Have a good rest of the day.
Thanks, Johnny. You too.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.